You have a copy of the scriptures with you. You can go to Luke 1. We'll look at just verses 78 and 79. Of course, the verses are also printed for you in the order of worship, so please feel free to follow along there. We're taking these different images that are used of Jesus, and we're looking at them, and they're actually images that are also used in the song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. So we just took each of those references to Him and said, okay, what verses are there that talk about Him? And let's think about those for a little bit. So we have one we're going to look at this morning. The verses we're looking at are, it's really the end of a prophecy slash song by Zechariah. And this Zechariah, he's the father of John the Baptist, which means he's the uncle of Jesus. So he's really excited that he has a son that's about to be born. And he makes this prophecy at the end of, or verses 78 and 79, about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at that, verses 78 and 79 of Luke 1. Let's read it together. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we've asked for you to pardon us, and we've asked that you would hear our prayers and our requests. And so we ask now that you would be our light. And you'd be our hope. And we ask for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In early 1969, which was before I was born, in early 1969, George Harrison stepped away from the Beatles for a little while. Those of you Beatle fans are, you know, probably real excited to hear something about the Beatles on Sunday morning from church. So, but he both in his autobiography and in some interviews, he talked a little bit about how he felt like the band was just losing its feel, like it was becoming kind of business-like and lost its warmth, and so he stepped away for just a little while. And in the same year, he was busted for possession of marijuana, had to have some surgery. So in his autobiography, he talks about how it was just a real, real dark time, really, really difficult days for him in 1969. So he decided one afternoon that he was going to go over to a friend of his, Eric Clapton. So some cool friends. He went over to Eric Clapton's house, borrowed one of his guitars, and took a walk into Eric Clapton's garden. And he just started strumming that guitar and humming some tunes out during this dark season of his life. And while he was strumming and humming, he came up with the words, "Here Comes the Sun." And everyone knows that song. And I mention that to us because there's something about a sunrise in dark days. Whether it's you've had just a really bad night, couldn't sleep, the sun comes up, it's like, okay, that day's behind me. Or if it was just sick through the night, you couldn't sleep because you were sick, there's something about the sunrise that just helps a little bit. If you've had a bad nightmare, the sunrise is, okay, that's over. We can face the sun, we can face this day. There's something about a sunrise that says there's hope, you can make it. And that's the image that Zechariah uses for Jesus. He says he's a sunrise that will visit us from on high. I want to think about that for a few minutes this morning. It's not a usual image that we think of when we think of Jesus, but it's scriptural and it's one we'll look at for a few minutes. I want to think of it from two perspectives. The sunrise is historical, and then the sunrise is spiritual. So if we'll think of those two pieces, we'll explore this verse together. What do we mean when we say the sunrise is historical? Well, look at Zechariah's prophecy, verse 78, He says, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. We'll pause right there for a minute. He says the sunrise will visit us from on high. Now, I've seen a few sunrises, and they've all come from below. But this sunrise comes from on high. It's a descending sunrise. It's a sunrise that comes into our world. He says the sunrise will visit us from on high. And he uses a word, you see it there in the text. The sunrise shall visit us. And that word visit is a word of personal meeting and caring. I've heard you were not doing well, so I came to visit with you. It's a helper word. And so the image is the sunrise will descend to us, and he'll live among us, and he'll help. He'll be a visitor that visits and cares for us. And then he mentions a list of some things that the sunrise will do, verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Zechariah, if you know the story, he was an old man, very old man when he made this prophecy. So far as we know, he didn't live to see his nephew Jesus grow up. He didn't live to see the ministry of the Messiah. But other people did. And I want to read for you something from the book of Matthew. Zechariah says, when the Messiah comes, he'll be like a sunrise on us. He'll cast out darkness and he'll guide our feet into the way of peace. That's his prophecy. Let me read for you from Matthew 4. Matthew was one of the followers of Jesus. He writes down a testimony of what it was like to be walking around with Jesus. Let me just read it to you. Matthew 4:23. He says, and Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. You just pause there. I mean, migraines, he took care of it. Hemophiliac, he took care of it. Down syndrome, he took care of it. Like, he healed all of them. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Now, if I came to you, I came to the Upstate in 98, if I said, and some of you were here in 1998, if I said in 1998, 22 years ago, this is what was happening in Greenville, and then there was this guy in Greenville, and he went to Anderson, and then he went to Easley. Great crowds of people were following him. He healed every disease. This was going on in Greenville in 1998. Everyone who was here in 98 would say, didn't happen. Didn't happen. Matthew says, he was walking through Syria, Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, beyond the Jordan. Like, he mentions all these places, and he says great crowds were following him. He was healing all the diseases. And there's no record of anyone saying, didn't happen, I lived in Syria that time. In fact, not only is there no one who says he wasn't like this, there are those in history who didn't become followers of Jesus but said, he was unique. Let me read you something from a guy named Josephus. You probably heard of him. Just this week was Hanukkah. So a lot of talk about Josephus during the week of Hanukkah. He said this. You may not know who Josephus is. Let me tell you who Josephus is. Not a follower of Jesus. He's a Jewish man. He was at one time a soldier. But he later became a historian, and he was such a great historian that the Roman Empire made him a citizen, and he became a historian for the Roman emperor. So, pretty credible job writing histories for the Roman Empire. Not a follower of Jesus. He says this: "About this time there lived Jesus, a wise man, for he was one who performed surprising deeds and was a teacher. He won over many Jews and Greeks, and when Pilate had condemned him to a cross, those who had first come to love him did not cease, and the tribe of the Christians, so called after him, has still to this day not disappeared." Now again, he's not saying, "I love Jesus, I'm a follower," not saying that. All he's saying is, yes, there really was this man Jesus, and he walked through, had the great crowds, and he was healing people, and his followers, like, we're trying to kill them off, and they love him so much, they're just sticking with it. And the point I just want to make is when Zechariah says, the sunrise is going to visit us soon, what the gospel and what records say is that when Jesus went into a town, he shone on the people. And the diseases were gone. He cast out the demons. That he was a sunrise on the people. It was a historical account. I had a seminary professor. It was actually a class on outreach and evangelism. And he said this one time. He said, "Men and women, when you are evangelizing, when you're sharing the gospel," I thought this was a great insight, "you're not an artist or an engineer. You're not creating something new or building something new. You are a reporter." This is what happened. Now, I say that to us this morning. Just a minute, we're going to go to the second part. But this time of year, Christmas, it's easy for Jesus to just fall down on a list of fictional characters. You got the blow-ups in the front yard, you got the plastic this, and then you got the baby Jesus. There he is. And the scriptures say, oh no, the sunrise visited us, and he came from on high. The sunrise is historical. But the sunrise is also spiritual. And here's what I mean. In the order of worship there, 2 Peter 1:19, you can see some verses. 2 Peter 1:19. I'll read that for you. Just so you know, say, who's Peter? Peter was a follower of Jesus. Was one of his disciples. Jesus Christ was crucified, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And then the apostles said, we want to tell the world about Jesus. They went out, they wrote letters. 2 Peter is one of the letters that he wrote. And I want you to hear what he says to people who never met Jesus while he was on earth. They never stood in the rays of the sunrise, so to speak, on earth. He says this, and we apostles, he says, for 2 Peter 1:19, we have the prophetic word made, or the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. No. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, here we are, we're coming, we're preaching the gospel to you. We're telling you about Jesus, our prophetic word made more fully confirmed. He's saying, we saw him, we touched him, we handled him, we ate food with him. Even after he died, he rose again, he shared fish and bread with us. We knew Jesus. He was crucified. And then after he was raised from the dead, for 40 days he met with us, the apostle said. And he told us what he did on the cross. He was telling us, okay, you saw me die, but on that cross, I was wounded for your transgressions. I was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement that brings you peace is upon me. Jesus is telling the disciples, this is what I was doing on the cross for 40 days. They go out and they're telling everybody, we're telling you, this is the gospel. You will do well to pay attention to it, he says in verse 19. You'll do well to pay attention to this. As to a lamp shining in a dark place. Again, he's saying, it's not a lamp shining in you, it's outside of you. There's a light, and we're telling you about it. Look at it. Pay attention to this message that we're sharing with you until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. I mean, the apostle said, yes, we were with Jesus. We saw what he did. We're telling you what he did. And we're saying to you that he healed broken legs. And if you'll listen to our gospel, he will heal a broken heart. I mean, he will rise in your hearts. That he opened the blind eyes, but he'll also open blind hearts. He straightened up crippled legs. He'll give your heart the ability to leap. He gave joy to those. He'll do that to you if you'll listen, he says, to our gospel. Pay attention. Earlier this year, I'd heard a lot about mindfulness. I'm sure you've probably heard of it too. Mindfulness books. And so I was like, man, what's all this mindfulness about? I'm going to read and read some stuff about it, listen to some stuff. So I downloaded this app. I think it was called the Mindfulness app. So I downloaded it, and I was actually walking in the Family Life Center over there while I was listening to it. And it was like maybe January, February of this year. So I'm walking and listening, and this lady, she's talking. And just very gentle and kind voice. And there was one phrase or one or two phrases that stuck out to me. She said this, inhale the light, exhale the darkness. And I was like, I had my earbuds in. I thought, oh, if it were only that easy. If I could just exhale the darkness, that would be so great. You know what the apostles say? Turn your mind to Christ, and the day star will dawn on you. There will be light. This is the season of Advent. I was speaking with one of our members just the other day, and she said, you light one more candle each Sunday, it gets brighter as you get closer to Jesus. The season of Advent is a season of waiting. And if I could just make this a preaching point, we're not good at waiting. I mean, we're getting worse at it. When Peter says, pay attention to the gospel until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, we usually cut short. We don't wait. We don't wait for him. But he will come. Now here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to end by looking back at that passage in Luke, the prophecy of Zechariah. Because Zechariah says, when the morning star comes, when the sunrise comes, he will rise on three kinds of people. And we're all in one or more of these categories today. And so I want to think about what that means, and then we'll close. Who needs to pay attention to the gospel this morning? Three categories. Let me give it to you. Zechariah says, he will give light to those who sit in darkness. See it in Luke 1:78 there, or 79. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he's a pastor, 20th century pastor. He told this story about a man who, he woke up, Lloyd-Jones woke up, opened up his front door, and this man's on his front doorstep crying and shaking. And Lloyd-Jones says, man, what's going on? What's bothering you? And the man says, I believe he can forgive me of all my other sins, but there's this one sin, this one. He can forgive me of my drunkenness. He can forgive me of my immorality. But he can't forgive me of this one sin. And Lloyd-Jones says, well, what was it? What is it? And the man says, I was in a pub one night 30 years ago, and I just screamed out, Jesus Christ is a expletive. And the man's shaking, and he says, he can't forgive me of that. And what Lloyd-Jones does is in a sermon, the name of the sermon is actually That One Sin. What he does is he goes on and he says, we've all got that one. You've all got this one where you think, I'm crippled. I'm sitting in the darkness. The condemnation and the guilt of this one sin, it may have been an abortion years ago. It was a one-night stand. It was a fit of rage. It was a lie that just ruined every relationship you had. And you can believe he'll forgive me of everything else, but there's this one sin that is like darkness on me. I'm sitting in the darkness. And what Zechariah says is that the sunrise rises on those and visits with and comes and gives forgiveness and peace and heals those who are crippled and sitting in darkness. The other category he gives is, he says, those who are in the shadow of death. And what he means here is facing death. This could be an individual that is aware that death is coming. It could be an individual that knows death is coming to somebody I love, or is living in the shadow of a death years ago. And what Zechariah says is, there's a shadow of death, and one day Jesus will raise all of his people from the dead. But there's a shadow that comes that's like dying before the death or dying after the death. And Zechariah says, Jesus visits and shines on those who are in that shadow. And he says, lastly, that he will guide our feet into the way of peace. And the picture there is of someone who's just lost their way. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that. You've probably felt like that driving before. You're like, how in the world did I get to where am I? Where am I? I've totally lost my way. But we can have that sense spiritually too. Just inside we think, now who am I? Sitting at a table at work, and there comes a point when you start to think, everyone else's ideas are good and mine aren't. Do I even have a point here? Like, what's my point? I've lost my way. I don't even know who I am. Or maybe it's a relationship. You're dating someone, or maybe you're married, or you're at this point where you're like, I don't know what to do in this relationship. I feel so lost. I'm so confused right now. I've lost my way. Or you keep calling in late to work, right? Day, this week, multiple times a week, because I'm running late because I'm searching the drawers for another pill. I got to call in. I've lost my way. Zechariah says, the sunrise comes to those who've lost their way. They need guidance into the way of peace. You will do well to pay attention until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Let me end with this. I used to teach high school. I taught Bible and some public speaking. And one day I was teaching on the Lord's Prayer. You know, pray the Lord's Prayer. You need to pray the Lord's Prayer. And just encourage, you know, this is. And afterwards, this high school girl came up. She was holding her folders against her chest, and she walked up and she said, "Mr. Preston, sometimes I don't feel like praying. So I ask my friends to pray with me." I thought it was a great insight. And I say that to us this morning because you hear this. And you hear the Apostle Peter say, pay attention to the gospel, rehearse the gospel, remind yourself, Jesus paid for it. Remind that he visits those who sit in darkness. Remember that, and you might say, I don't even have the strength to do that. I don't have enough attention to pay attention. What if you called a friend and said, would you tell me about Jesus? Like, I am hurting right now. Would you just tell me about him? Or what if you got that phone call? Would you go? And just, let's start with John. In the beginning was the Word. And I'm going to read, and I'm going to talk, and I'm going to encourage you in who Jesus is. Now, one thing here, we've mentioned. I feel like we're a stuck record on this book, Gentle and Lowly. Mentioned it a bunch of times. The author of that book, Dane Ortlund, says this. He says, Christ offers us something that gets underneath the pain. While the pain does not go away, its sting is made fully bearable by the deeper friendship of Jesus. And here's why I say this as we come to an end, because it can sound like, if you read your Bible, all your problems are gone. No, that is not true. In fact, oftentimes when you get in the sunlight, you start to see all the warts. Like, oh no, I didn't know these were here. But the point he's getting at is not that in the sunlight your job opportunities go or your job obligations go away or that you're not sick anymore. But it's in the sunlight there's something deeper and sweeter. There's a strengthening that takes away the condemnation of the darkness and gives the freedom to say, I can face a new day. And when Zechariah says, he is like a sunrise. He's not saying all your problems are going to go away if you become a Christian. What he's saying is Jesus Christ will have a deeper and sweeter fellowship with you that will sweeten all of the things he's calling you to. You will do well to pay attention until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask for your light. And there's a lot of lights in this season on our trees and on our front doors. But we ask that you would be a healing and saving light to your people. Like a morning star, like a sunrise. Would you be like that for us? And we ask that you would do this because you promised you would. And so we pray in your name. Amen.